Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Albert K. Bender and the Men in Black and all that stuff. I met Bender in the early 60s when he was touring for this book, Flying Saucers and the Three Men, which I think was heavily edited and possibly heavily written by Gray Barker, where the Men in Black were really extraterrestrials from a planet called Kayak.
Oh, yeah.
I thought of chaos rather than Kayak, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any particular opinion about Bender and the early iterations of Men in Black?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've sort of looked deeply as well into, you know, the whole story of Bender. I mean, Bender was a really weird guy, you know. I mean, he lived in his dad's house and lived in his attic. The place was kind of like Norman Bates' house in Psycho. And Bender himself, you know, he was someone who, you know, no girlfriend, no wife. Well, there was eventually. But in saying that, he was heavily into the occult, supernatural, paranormal. And he's, one of the things he was really into was alchemy. And that's something that, you know, a lot of people in ufology don't get into. But Bender was. And, of course, he became friends with Barker, Gray Barker, who was, you know, someone who had sort of a flavor for kind of almost like a gonzo writing, you know, there'd be something that's partially true, but you could never be sure with some of his stories if to, you know, was he really telling the story or was it, you know, exaggerated, that kind of thing. But, I mean, like a lot of people, you know, he kind of cracked up and left. And that's when he did get married. And he was pretty much finished about the MIB phenomenon. Whichever way you look at it, the fact is that Albert Bender really did start the Men in Black mystery. And he claimed that he'd been visited by these Men in Black. Now, whether you ask Bender or you ask Gray Barker, who wrote a book all about Bender's experiences, part of the story says that they were sort of like government agents. But for Bender, they had these sort of shining eyes and they looked kind of like something out of a Hammer horror movie, you know, like these pale ghouls. So we can never really be sure. And even to this day, you know, people talk about there being two different types of Men in Black, government types who still wear the fedoras. But the others are these sort of Dracula type ones. So I still think to this day that there's much more to the Bender story that we don't know.
Well, the raw question one would ask, after reading Flying Saucers and the Three Men, was he really telling the truth about what he felt were extraterrestrials, or was that just an answer to all the people who had been clamoring for all the years, tell us, and it really wasn't meant to be something totally factual?
Well, here's the way I look at it. I don't think Bender was a liar, but like a lot of the sort of the contactees, you know, who people like Truman Bethurum and people like that and Orfeo Angelucci, they came up with these wild stories, which I think they 100% did believe themselves. And this kind of, you know, this issue, if you like, or this phenomenon took over his mind, if you like, almost, I think. And so I don't think we can call them liars, But I think they were more along the lines of created these imageries and these experiences in a fashion that he actually felt it really happened. You know, almost like, you know, like the shaman going out into the desert and, you know, sort of dealing with the gods and so on. You know, were the gods really there at all in the first place? You know, that kind of thing.
Sounds like hallucinations, sounds like drug-inspired experiences, but certainly they wouldn't say they took those drugs. I was thinking when you were talking about the early contactees of George Van Tassel and this crazy device, which is still around, by the way, years after Van Tassel died, called the Integratron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there several times today.
And the reason I mentioned that, by the way, is last week we had a guy on the show named Craig Campobasso, who's a casting director and filmmaker, and he wrote a book about the UFO Hotspots Compendium, various sites around the country you could visit which had real or imagined UFO sightings, and he went to visit the Integratron. So you said you visited it, but give us first, before we get into that, your basic summary of what it was meant to be.
Yeah, I've been there about three or four times now, and I think the first time I went there was with Greg Bishop, but I think that would have been about 20 years ago, first time I went there. But the Integratron, it's a fascinating building, regardless of what you think about what Van Tassel said. For example, I mean, there's hardly any nails, bolts or anything like that. You know those sort of like those Russian dolls where everything pushes into pieces? That's how Van Tassel did that. You know, he was a really, you know, clever guy. But he was also not just into ufology, but he's also into politics. And that's why in the 1950s, early 1950s, the FBI actually opened a file on Van Tassel. And if you go to the FBI's website, which is called The Vault, click on vault.gov and then look on the names and just type in Van Tassel, you'll see that Van Tassel's FBI file is just over 300 pages long. Now, if you read the file, it's not because the FBI is worried about aliens and UFOs. They were worried about the politics and the current in the world at the time, you know. And that was the same with George Adamski. His FBI file is more than 300 pages, but that's because in several of his lectures, Adamski said that communism was the future. And that's the reason why Adamski had such a huge file on him, because J. Edgar Hoover was worried that so many people would gravitate to ufology, but in the process of doing that, they would be sort of pulled into communism as well as ufology.
Okay, so this was part of the communist McCarthy paranoia of the 1950s about communists. And I guess you could say maybe E.T. was a communist because he wanted everyone to be together.
Well, yeah, but if you look at all the various different files of the contactees and people like Bender, there's the Albert Bender FBI file is about 40 pages, and it's all politics for the most part. You know, and things like that. There's very little about the file of Bender or Van Tassel or Bethurum. But, you know, there's files on them all, but there's not much about UFOs. It's all about the world today and the world then, communism, things like that.
Yes, indeed. The 1950s, those were indeed strange times, and as you can see, for a number of reasons. Let's do our break here with Nick Redfern, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz. You're in
the Paracast!
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're talking now from ancient structures and advanced technologies to the contactees. And, of course, the Integratron, which had an interesting structure. But the Integratron, by the way, was never finished, as I understand it. And originally they claimed that you could basically go in there and be rejuvenated, become young again. And then later on, when it was never really finished, it was changed to, well, you go in there and you feel better about yourself. If you believe, it would work.
What? Yeah, well, that's kind of one of the ironies, because, you know, that Van Tassel was finding ways to sort of, you know, enhance the lifespan and so on. And he died slightly younger than you would have expected. So that's, you know, that's one of the things. But, you know, a lot of these people, you know, had connections one place or another, kind of like ufology today. You know, you bunch into the, you know, into this person and that person, and they kind of all got together. But yeah, just about every contactee that was known of back in the 50s had an FBI file. Truman Bethlehem, Van Tassel, George Hunt Williamson, all of them. So, yeah, it was a fascinating era. And just in the same with going back to Jessup with the Navy, you know, we don't really know why the Navy really wanted to know what Jessup was up to. You know, there were so many threads here and there, the Philadelphia experiments, invisibility, warships vanishing, all his treks to South America and so on. And, of course, anti-gravity, levitation. And, again, there's got to be a reason beyond that. You know, they wouldn't have just, you know, taken all this time to speak with Jessup about all this. So something happened, and then just not that long afterwards, something else happened, namely an alleged suicide.
I just wonder if part of it is just paranoia. We were so paranoid about the Cold War and communism in those days that anything that was a little bit eccentric, like UFO people, they'd be looked at in ways that were more extreme.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, some people in ufology, you know, it's there actually sometimes are reasons to be a little bit, you know, sort of paranoid and that kind of thing. And for the most part, it's because, you know, for reasons that aren't that deep, you know. But, I mean, you know, when you find out that a lot of people did have files, I mean, and I don't just mean the contactees. I mean, you know, I mean, there's one on Stan Friedman. Ironically, that's absolutely boring. There's nothing. It's just, I mean, talk about yawn, you know, and other ones, you know, but you know, when you get visits, I mean, I got visited way back in the 1990s. I got a visit from a UK arm of the British police force called Special Branch, because I was looking into a place called Royal Air Force Rudlow Manor, which some people were saying was like some sort of underground Hangar 18 type place. But it wasn't. It was just a place where some UFO research was legitimately done. But I had two people from the agency, Special Branch, and said, why are you looking into Special Branch? And their concern, it was obvious, their concern was the kind of things that, you know, people might have a legitimate concern, you know, sort of people sort of, you know, sort of throwing stones at the government, that kind of thing, you know. But I mean, when I got to speak with them and I said, you know, this is what I do. I write books about UFOs, etc., etc. And we ended up having a laugh, you know, and but it could have gone a different way, you know. But I guess it really kind of revolves around your levels of paranoia. Mine's is, you know, fairly low, but that doesn't take away the fact that I haven't been visited and interviewed. But it was kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, what do you want? And, but no, I've never had like been slammed against the wall or anything like that, and no one's ever said to me, stay away from this case and don't talk about that. That's never ever happened to me. Nothing like that.
I've wondered about the FBI file, and I must assume there is one, for James W. Mosley.
Well, there probably is. I mean, there's actually some stuff about Mosley in several of those articles that Mosley put together, you know, those newsletters that he made himself, like Saucer Smear and those kind of ones. I don't think it was Saucer Smear. I think the one that he did way before, the 50s, Saucer News, I think it was, something like
that. Well, he had Nexus was the original title. It then became Saucer News. He sold it off to Gray Barker in the late 60s because he was just completely fed up with everything. He wasn't making money that he thought he could make from Saucer News. So he sold it to Barker, and then the magazine was ultimately discontinued. And then he came out with this non-scheduled newsletter, similar to one that he would distribute occasionally for Saucer News subscribers. And each issue he'd have a different name, Saucer Something. And I know I gave him the lettering to make all these titles. The lettering you see for Saucer Smear, I created that for him. So anyway, he finally decided on calling it Saucer Smear, probably in the late 70s. Now, yeah. The reason I asked about Jim and the FBI is his background. He was the son of a very right-wing figure from the U.S. Army, Major General George Van Horn Mosley. For years, people thought that Jim Mosley, being the son of this guy, although they never got along, folks, must be some kind of government agent. Early years, we don't know how serious it was, Jim maintained that UFOs were really secret aircraft from our government. The secret weapons theory was what it was called. And he had finally abandoned that and had something which he calls 4.5D, multiverse, that kind of thing. And, you know, I guess we could say that Jim took this attitude because he wanted to perpetuate this fake feud with his friend Gray Barker. And to some extent, that was probably true. But he may have also believed it because I remember a meeting that we had in New York State with Dr. Leon Davidson, a noted scientist who did that Air Force Special Report 14 Project Blue Book volume. Let's get to more of this in a moment with Nick and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. North Korea fired 4 short-range ballistic missiles into the Western Sea on Saturday, South Korea's military reported. As Seoul and Washington ended a, North Korea has launched a series of missiles this week, including a possible failed intercontinental ballistic missile, drawing condemnation from the United States, South Korea, and Japan. Iran acknowledged for the first time on Saturday that it had supplied Moscow with drones, but said they were sent before the war in Ukraine, where Russia has used them to target power stations and civilian infrastructure. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky accused Tehran of lying, saying Kyiv's forces were downing at least 10 of the unmanned aerial vehicles every day. Nike suspended its relationship with Kyrie Irving, moving to distance itself from the basketball star after he was suspended by his team for being slow to disavow anti-Semitism. This is USA Radio News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I got the impression that Jim Moseley was heavily influenced by Dr. D, Leon Davidson, about UFOs being secret weapons. And he said something in this meeting, and I was on the other side of the room, didn't catch it all. And Jim came to the conclusion, well, you really fooled me there. You led me astray. And after that, Jim began to develop a more wild or liberal interpretation of the UFO phenomenon. That is the truth.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at things, you know, from different angles. I mean, all this stuff about who's being watched and, you know, files and this and that. And you know, I mean, there's some files really, you know, are genuinely intriguing, like the one on the 1986 space shuttle one, where the FBI opened one because this woman who was a remote viewer came out with all these theories as to how and why the space shuttle, you know, exploded. Sadly, you know, it blew up because it just blew up. You know, it was due to the tank. We know that. But the FBI opened an extensive file on that, on the words, if you like, or the theory of this woman who said she had psychic powers and said who she knew basically did it. You know, she knew what happened and she knew who did it. And this was a very bizarre story.
You know, we were talking earlier about the Men in Black, and I still find it fascinating that you have a story that originated in the 1950s, yet it's still going on today. And there are still people reporting and taking pictures claiming to be harassed for whatever reason by the traditional Men in Black.
Well, you know, there's what you call, you know, the normal Men in Black and the other ones. I've dug into this quite deeply, really, over the years. And there's no doubt that, in my mind, that there are two types of Men in Black. Now, some, I'm pretty sure, have gone out in black suits and black fedoras and black suits and white shirt and a little skinny black tie. I'm sure they've gone out like that to really sort of, you know, put the heat on somebody who they know, because they've done sort of like, you know, a rundown on their sort of character. If they realize they can get that person terrified, you know, because they're really kind of, you know, not in a really good position, well, it makes it very easy to get those people to leave ufology or else, you know. But then there are others. You've got this other type of men in black, which a lot of people have seen and heard, but don't really understand what they are. I mean, they have typically these gaunt faces, milk white skin. Very often, and with the women in black as well, the men in black and the women in black, they wear these black wigs. Sometimes they have these bulging eyes, and according to the witnesses, they don't really look entirely human. Now, does that mean that there are two different types coming from government, or is the one MIB-type government, and is the other one sort of camouflaging itself, you know, by these fedora hats pulled down and the sunglasses and the wigs, and doing so so that nobody would really see their genuine appearance. So, that sort of multiple types of MIB phenomenon, that's really weird.
Yeah, the ones that are really fascinating are the ones that occur, you know, the experiences that occur to people who previously had no interest in the UFO phenomena at all, and yet were visited most of the time, it's generally an individual, sometimes a pair of people, but there'll be all kinds of unusual circumstances around their encounter, the, you know, like the Jenny Randall's Oz effect and things like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so many different and weird aspects, you know, in all of this. It's and the witnesses, you know, the most important, obviously. And I've spoken to so many people, you know, in this angle, who've seen the men in black, and some who hadn't barely seen anything to do with UFOs until they'd just seen something weird, and then they get the call, you know, on the front door, a slow knock on the door. And again, you know, they just thought it was normal. Oh, yeah, this guy just looked like skinny and weird, but it's not, you know, you can notch that one up for ufology again, you know, that they're still running around, so.
How many of these do you think are just private folks goofing on people who see UFOs? Ah, we got the men in black. This will be fun. Let's play a hoax.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's done or has been done. I mean, for example, I mean, one part of the men in black issue, you know, is this issue of weird phone calls. Well, I mean, some of them, I mean, one of the things we do know is that Mosley was playing tricks on various people, like Gray Barker, and Gray Barker was doing vice versa, and both of them were playing jokes on John Keel when we had the Mothman phenomenon in 1966 and 1967 at Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And so there's no way that, you know, we cannot say, you know, no, this isn't happening, you know, it's all real. It wasn't all real. We know for a fact that some of these stories were hoaxed. Now, it probably would be harder to get, you know, a brand new black suit and tie and fedora back then. But in saying that, you know, if you want to spend that amount of money just to run a, you know, a plot, if you like. But yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that there's definitely been a lot of weird hoaxes in ufology, and there's some which kind of like sort of balance between the two, you know. But and again, and that's one of the problems when you look into things like the Men in Black, whether the, you know, the one group and the other one. The problem is we don't really know who's telling the truth and who's not, you know. But that's always been like that for ufology, you know.
You know what's really unfortunate here is that neither Gray Barker nor John Keel or Albert Bender benefited by the success of the concept Men in Black, which is, of course, was based on a not very good selling graphic comic book.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, that just sort of demonstrates another aspect of ufology, you know, and where it takes people and why sometimes, and where other times it doesn't take people, you know.
Right, so we have Lowell Cunningham, who did the graphic comic, benefiting to some unknown extent from the movie being made of his concept. And if you remember the original, the first Men in Black movie and the second, the lead characters, the lead agents, Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith, they have the names J and K. That's J and K, and the obvious assumption is J and K represented John Keel. But then we have the originators, some of whom, you know, never had very much money. Like John Keel made money from Mothman Prophecies, but he almost died in poverty some years later. We've got Nick and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes.
If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We've got Nick Redfern and his book, which we've discussed extensively, is How Anti-Gravity Built Their Pyramids. He'll also be hanging with us for the After the Paracast premium podcast. For subscribers to the Paracast Plus, go to theparacast.plus. For more info, Tim Swartz is our co-host. So, Nick, of course, we were talking about perpetrating hoaxes, and that some of the Men in Black stories might be that. John Keel suggested the Men in Black were strange beings, not human.
Well, one sight happens all the time, but I mean, for one example, not long, just barely maybe a year after the Rendlesham Forest event occurred in 1980, somebody got hold of a British Ministry of Defence documents with all the headline and everything. I don't know where they got it from, but they managed to get one of these one-page documents and doctored it and inserted a piece of material which talked all about the case and what had happened, and that there was some, like, a communication between the British military and aliens and so on. And, of course, you've got that very controversial document that I used in one of my books about Marilyn Monroe, the Marilyn Monroe UFO document, which has been sort of spinning around for ages, which is a fascinating story because it actually, if you really look at it deeply, it doesn't come out like a hoax. But it might be, it might not be, but it is a fascinating story. But that is one of the problems, is that so many people over the years, you know, have gone out and got an old type of typewriter and put out a really well done hoax. But of course, you know, I mean, the person who does that is really being reckless. Well, one thing, you shouldn't be doing it anyway. But on the other side, if you do that, no one's going to listen to you anymore. So it's not a good thing to do.
Then again, of course, we have Jim Moseley and Gray Barker, after having imbibed lots of liquids.
Oh, well.
Using stationery that came from a relative of somebody in the government, official government stationery, to create a bunch of letters, including the straight letter. Speaking of FBI, the FBI allegedly, purportedly went to visit Barker, who allegedly then took his typewriter and dismantled it and buried it. Speaking of Rendlesham, I have a book here from George Wingfield. Don't know if you know who he is. He's an author, and he's been a guest on the Paracast before. It's called The Rendlesham Forest UFO Mystery and Project Honey Badger.
Yeah, I know who he is, yeah.
And it purportedly attempts to explain Rendlesham in a very conventional way. We are going to try to have him on the show in the next couple of months. Also, coming up real soon on the show, we've got James Fox, who is director-producer of Moment of Contact, about that very famous Brazilian case from the 1990s. So that's going to be really, really interesting. We're talking to Nick Redfern. The book is How Anti-Gravity Built the Pyramids. But, of course, we have taken sojourns into all sorts of legends and mysteries, including the Men in Black, the monitoring of the early contactees. I have a question about that, going back to the early contactees. George Adamski, for example, was really clearly well exposed as a faker, at least that his contact claims were fake, not that maybe he had something happen to him that he couched in those terms. But to this day, there are still people who swear by Adamski, not at him. And this is many, many years after he died. What do you think causes that, Nick?
What makes some people to come back later on, you mean, with the stories?
People still believe Adamski. Last week, our guests believed Van Tassel.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Adamski had a lot of sway on a lot of people, particularly from the 50s and 60s. However, I mean, even to this day, there are people who believe in George Adamski, and pretty much everything that he ever said, did, photographed, really did not stand up. And if you look from page 1 till page 300 of his FBI file, read that. I mean, that's like, oh my God. It really is a huge pile of material that puts him in a terrible, terrible position. He's probably happy that he died before the Freedom of Information Act came into place. Otherwise, he would have been kicked out, and rightly as well.
He died in 1965, by the way. So he was, I think, in his 70s, because he became famous rather late in life. But there you go about that. People still believe it. People still believe the MJ-12 documents.
That's a classic example. I mean, Stan Friedman, Stan genuinely bought into the MJ-12 documents. He was not hoaxing or trying to get something out of it, that kind, I don't think, at all. But I think Stan was one of those who really did believe the MJ-12 documents were the real deal. I thought it was intriguing when they first surfaced in 1987, but beyond that, all you've got to do is get a bit of sheet of paper, get an old typewriter, and go to work.
And consider also this, one of the problems with the MJ-12, other than being fake, is that the date formatting was evidently not proper, and that's something that one of our other co-hosts, Bob Zanotti, who's our staff announcer, had mentioned. He wrote about this way back when, during the days of Saucer Smear and Jim's publication. Unfortunately, I never read it, but Bob has talked to me about it. But that's something that you think, if anyone wanted to make a document that mirrored a genuine government document, one that would pass muster, you'd at least get the date format correctly, or maybe things like that, and one other aspect, including Donald Menzel, the late Harvard astronomer who was a big UFO skeptic, including him in the list of members, was an inside joke. And that's why you made it obvious it was a fake.
But, I mean, it's like with Truman Bethlehem and his beautiful alien Aura Reigns. Remember that one? Well, if you read all of the Bethlehem literature, Bethlehem really did believe what he was saying. But now, whether he was in some kind of a trance, I don't know. But he really did believe he saw Aura Reigns.
And wasn't she named in his divorce? Nick, where can we find more of your stuff?
My blog is World of Whatever. Just type in Nick Redfern, World of Whatever. Or just find me on Facebook. I'm right at the top somewhere. And always happy to speak with people if they want to share any information, questions. Yep, just come to me. Yep.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the PowerCast. Don't know whether the new owner, Elon Musk, is going to do anything to mess us up, but that's another story. We're on Facebook, where they've already messed us up by not letting us put our URL, thepowercast.com, on Facebook. Same thing true for timsconspiracyjournal.com, so we won't mention them anymore. You can buy branded merchandise for PowerCast listeners at thepowercast.shop. That's thepowercast.shop. We also offer the PowerCast Plus. Go to thepowercast.plus for a quick sign up. We give you the After the PowerCast podcast with special interviews uncensored, and Nick will be back for that one, by the way. We offer also this show free of the network ads. Better quality audio. Can't miss thepowercast.plus. And if you use the coupon code UFO20, that's UFO20, you get 20% off on 5-year and lifetime subscriptions. We've been doing the PowerCast Plus now for, about 8 years. And it just continues to grow strong. The PowerCast.plus. Nick Redfern, always fun. Thanks for joining us on the PowerCast.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on again. It's been a while, and we haven't sort of touched on a few things, which is still running around. Like the Marilyn Monroe book. That's a strange one. That's a genuinely odd one. When I went looking for that, I thought I was going to go into it as just a complete hoax and nothing else. But there is some really strange data in there, which really gives it an area of thought.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.